This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco to go.
This deal legit.
Taco to go.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go.
$2.99.
It's the Wicked Pritchard of the East, bro. Peyton Pritchard, 34 points, 7 dimes, 7 boards. Another good one in the last game of the year. Well, the Celtics' next game is game one of the playoffs.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Thursday. It's 24 hours late, but it is time for Pure Hoops with Turp, Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. I know Keefe is shaking his head.
Listen, I love a viral video as much as the next. I personally love that video that he's referencing, but...
Her sister was a witch, right?
It's too much, though. I don't need that.
Oh, so is that what he was mixing
in
there?
Yeah, so the Wicked Witch and the East, bro. They get in a big fight, these two guys. Right, it's one of the great viral videos of all time.
The Wicked Witch and the East, bro!
It's awesome.
So that flew right over my head.
I know what it's from, and I still don't like it.
I didn't realize what it was from. I now get it. I'm with you. I still don't like it.
The she Wicked... came down in a bubble, dog!
Grow up!
Get educated, bud.
I mean, I get the reference. I still don't like it.
What'd you think of that one, Turp?
I actually wasn't familiar with that video.
Well, no, it probably came out like the year you were born.
Yeah, it probably came out.
That's an old video.
Probably came out in 2020, and I mean to say that. Yeah. You know, something like that. In terms I wasn't even born yet.
She wore a crown and she came down in a bubble,
dog. Ariana Grande, I think, like, redid it with, like, Fallon before the Wicked came out.
Got it.
They should have had those guys in the movie, I feel like, is a real miss.
Maybe they're in the second one.
Hopefully.
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe. Yeah. So, Turp, yesterday... you were over at the Auerbach Center.
I was.
Celtics out of practice.
They did.
Mazzulla spoke. Some other players spoke. Now, the scuttlebutt yesterday was Jaylen Brown was expected to speak. He did not. Should we read into that in any way, shape, or form?
No, because I mean, I can't confirm or deny if that was from PR. Like, I don't know for a fact that he was supposed to speak. So, I mean, he's been around the team. It'd be one thing if his status was in the air. But, like, they've been pretty clear. Joe Mazzulla explicitly said the other day that he's going to play in game one. So it'd be different if his status was in the air. Granted, I know it's the biggest story going into the postseason. Like, Jaylen Brown's health is the story. But, I mean, there's no question about his status. He's going to be playing.
Well,
so.
Ramona Shelburne, with her report about him getting pain management, never said he wasn't going to play. She said he's expected to play in game one. He's getting shots to manage the pain.
He also mentioned that he was going to do that. Mentioned a couple weeks ago that there was treatment lined up, that he was going to go through different things.
Okay, but that's not, I'm getting a needle in my knee that's been bothering
me.
What
else would it be, though?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if it's treatments, that sounds to me like massaging and stretching. Like, treatment, there's a lot of different ways you could take that, a lot of different things. That doesn't mean I'm getting an injection in my knee.
Yeah, I don't think the injection's as big of a deal, because he did, like, he mentioned that there was going to be things to come, and this is going to be a story the entire time. Like, this is something that's not going to go away. This is something he's going to deal with throughout the postseason. He's been pretty clear with that as well. So I think Jaylen's been really transparent with all of this, maybe except for the All-NBA stuff and how much that actually mattered. With regard to the injury itself, though, I feel like he's been very transparent and honest with what's going on. And, I mean, he's admitted, like, he's not going to be himself at all times during this postseason. That's something that he has to come to grips with. That's That's what he said a couple weeks ago. So we'll see what happens. I mean, again, this is going to be the biggest story going through the postseason. How healthy is Jaylen Brown? And Jones, you mentioned it the other day that he hasn't passed the 30-minute mark since the Oklahoma City game. He averaged 36 in the postseason last year. So we'll see what happens with the minutes and all that, but he's out a week off now, and hopefully that can do a little something.
So what do you think changed from when the last two games we saw him, he plays just over 20 minutes, Mazzulla had that line, like, yeah, we did what we needed to do, doesn't play fourth quarter overtime against the Knicks, and then doesn't play the last couple games of the season. So what changed in your mind there?
I mean, I think there's two things. One, he really might have realized that, like, you know, this All-NBA thing might not be as much of a lock as he might have thought originally, because people started right around that time really putting out their ballots.
Yeah, like,
this
like,
is
oh,
who's going to pick. We gave ours.
We both did, yeah.
We didn't have him on there, and people with votes put him out there, and he wasn't really on there. So maybe he was aware of that and it's like, all right, it's not worth pushing for this. Or he just realized he's not doing himself any good. Like, he's learned everything he can about this injury. Now, like, let's rest up a little bit. Let's see if this helps. I mean, you would imagine that any rest is better than no rest. I mean, it's not going to cure the whole thing, but having a week or 2 weeks off to kind of get off that knee and rest up would be much better than playing through an injury in meaningless games. And you look at that Knicks game, man, he was struggling out there. That was the worst he's looked. And so, he hasn't looked bad the entire time when dealing with this injury, but that one was not good.
So that one was bad. His month of March, we were reading Kevin Pelton the other day. It was his worst month, I think, scoring since like 2019.
Points per game-wise?
Yeah.
Because his efficiency was up.
Well, not really.
His shooting numbers were up for compared to the entire season, because he had a career low season.
He shot 43% in March. He shot 28% on threes.
Since returning from the three-game absence, he was 40% from three and 51% from the field.
Okay, but if he's looking like he looked against New York, or how he played in the month of March, 18 a game, 43%, 28% from three, can they win a title if that's the best Jaylen can give you?
I mean, he's shown that he can. I mean, to the point about the scoring, they're going to need more than that with his scoring. I mean, look how important he was last year. Like, that's why he won conference finals and NBA finals MVP. But he's shown that he can adapt. The big thing is, though, is there's no burst, right? Like, with the knee, he can't push off as much. He can't play the way that Jaylen Brown plays. And the best thing about him is he really sets the tone in transition. He sets the tone with his physicality defensively. So they're going to be missing that. So I guess the scoring could take a backseat because you have so many guys that are capable, right? You have Tatum is capable of taking on a bigger load. Kristaps Porzingis, if you can keep him healthy, you didn't have that luxury last season. Derek White can score. Drew Holiday can score when needed. They can all do it. So I'm not necessarily worried about the scoring aspect of it, more so what he does defensively, because that's not all quantifiable in the stat sheet, what he does, like picking up the opponent's best players, really setting the tone with his physicality. And that's something they're going to need against Orlando even. Granted, they can win this series without Jaylen Brown. But in matching the physicality, Jaylen Brown is often the one that spearheads that. And they're going to be missing that, assuming that he's not 100% and can't really shoulder his entire workload.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Orlando? They make the fewest threes per game in the NBA. Celtics, obviously, far and away, make the most threes. A bit of a contrast in styles. Paolo Banchero, great player. They've dealt with injuries throughout the year. They're still dealing with injuries, but your take on this Orlando team?
Yeah, there's one stat that tells the story of the Orlando Magic. They were held under 100 points more than anybody in the NBA this season. They also held opponents under 100 points more than anyone in the NBA. So their defense is terrific. Mm-hmm. Their offense, not so much. And the three-point volume is going to be the big key here, because the Celtics had some of their worst three-point shooting nights against Orlando. Granted, one of those was in the last game of the season when nobody was playing. The second one was without Jason Tatum. When, you know, you had everyone else healthy, but Jason Tatum does a lot in terms of creating threes just with his spacing and his gravity. So they were missing there, but Orlando does a good job of keeping teams off the perimeter. They're one of the best perimeter defensive teams in the league. So that three-point volume is going to be something to watch. But I also look at how bad their offense is. And did you guys watch that play-in the other night when they go scoreless in the third quarter, and they only put up like 18 points, I believe it was, in the third quarter? If you go scoreless for 5 to 7 minutes against the Celtics, they're going to go on a big run. So the Celtics are going to have to capitalize on those opportunities when this offense naturally is going to go stagnant, because they just cannot score. They were second or third to last in points per game. They have one of the worst offensive ratings. The Celtics need to capitalize on that and build a run, and then Orlando might not have the firepower to punch back. Like, you go down 20 or whatever off a big run, they don't have the offense to punch back.
Pure Hoops with Terp on a Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. You got questions for Terp about the Celtics and their playoff run, you can jump in. 617-779-7937. You can send in your questions on Twitter as well, at Jones and Keefe. You told me this off the air the other day. I was just looking it up. Joe Mazzulla's, because I'm not worried about the Magic. They should sweep the Magic with or without Jaylen Brown. I'd be disappointed if Orlando took a game off the Celtics. So I'm not concerned about them. But you brought up an interesting stat. Mazzulla's the only team he has a losing record against is Orlando. Is that
few.
Right? One of the few.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why have they? Because it's not just this year in the games you mentioned where they have a poor shooting night, but there were two games without Tatum. Why in his 3 years as head coach is this one of the few teams that he has a losing record against?
Remember his first year, I believe it was, they swept them. It was a weekend series at the Garden, and they swept them. It's really their length and physicality. Some of those teams have given the Celtics problems in the past with these lengthy teams that force turnovers, that really stop you, slow you down offensively. Those have given the Celtics some issues, and I think that's what Orlando does. They're annoying. Like, what they're going to do is annoying. They're going to get up on you. They're going to pressure you. They're going to really make you work offensively. And in the past, I think that's really bothered the Celtics. I think this iteration of the Celtics, where they have so many different ways to punish you, it's a little bit different. And that record could be skewed. Like this year's loss, I mean, the first one, in fairness, the Celtics were without Jason Tatum, but they were without Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. So it was kind of a cancellation there. The last game of the season, obviously, that just didn't count, right? We'll just throw that one out the window.
Yeah, no one played.
Nobody
Celtics,
played in
yeah.
that one. And that was a game they had a win to get into the play-in at the 7 seed. So that was one they were going all. And they still couldn't score 100 points. Like, that's what right. I'm talking about with the right. offense. Like, they had the main Celtics out there, and they scored 96 points. Like, that's the thing. So I picked this series to go 5. I really do think they can get one. Just the Celtics will have a bad 3-point shoot tonight, because that's what they do. Like, Orlando has built that reputation where they're going to guard the perimeter, and the Celtics will struggle. And Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner have been incredible mm-hmm. in the last couple weeks here. They had a really strong end to the season. They were 9-1-9 of their last 12. Paolo scored 30, I think, 5 of those games. Wagner scored at least 20 in all of them, except for the play-in. So they're going to get one game, I think, just one night offensively. They're going to get it. The Celtics are going to struggle. But really, this isn't a series the Celtics should sweat. There's a reason they're minus 8,000 favorites.
It seems like they really miss Jalen Suggs.
Minus 8,000, wow. Yeah.
Minus 8,000. Oh, yeah. So Suggs is good. Now that Suggs puts up these crazy numbers, that is more Paolo Banchero. That is more Wagner. But it seems like since he's gone down, you look at like what their starting backcourt's going to be, like that is a major loss.
Yeah, I mean, he was an all-defensive guard last year. He's their third leading scorer, too, in a team that doesn't score very much.
Right.
And Mo Wagner, too, Celtic legend.
Yes,
from back in the Wagner days. He was their fourth leading scorer off the bench. So they've been really – injuries have kind of derailed them all year. I don't think the 41-41 record's really – indicative of what they are,
right?
Because at one point they were 8 games above 500, it was, and they dropped down to
rolling.
6
yeah, right.
6 below 500
wow.
and then they got up back up to 500. So injuries have really derailed their season a little bit, but again, you know, they do things that are going to bother other teams, like their defense. That's why they're there, and we saw it against Atlanta. What they did to Trae Young in the first quarter, I know he got going, but he was like scoreless in the first quarter, and they fell behind like almost 20. So,
yeah,
you know, they do the little things.
So I know you've mentioned a bunch the Western Conference gauntlet. There's no guarantee it'll be OKC on the other side. We now know the path for OKC, and it really isn't easy. They're going to get the winner of Dallas and Memphis. I mean, I think that's pretty easy. But then they'll get the winner of Denver and the Clippers in round 2, and maybe the Lakers in the Western Conference final. I would not want to see that matchup for the Celtics on the other side. That's the only team I would pick head-to-head to beat the Celtics, East or West. What's the likelihood OKC gets out of the West?
I'm looking at that Clippers series, man. Like, that Clippers team is good. With Kawhi back, healthy now, James Harden's
gonna beat
good
Denver.
Year.
I think they're going to beat Denver.
I think they're going to beat Denver.
I think they're... Huh. They've been playing well.
Yeah.
And so that's not going to be an easy – look, I'd pick OKC in that series. That's not going to be an easy series, though.
And that's the thing, too, when you're looking at it this way. And I know there's still, like you said, there's a lot that has to go right between now and then. But you're looking at the path for Oklahoma City. You're going to have to go through Denver or the Clippers. And when you're looking at the Celtics, it's like you got Orlando, who you should win in 4 or 5. And then you got the Knicks. And I think they match up better against the Knicks than they do against the Magic. We've seen them torment them all year.
You think the Pistons can pick off the Knicks?
I think they'll make it close. I just don't think they have enough right now. It all depends on Karl Anthony Towns in that series. Like, if Karl Anthony Towns shows up, if he, you know, really is the player that they went out and got, and granted they wanted him to be a little bit better against like the teams against the Celtics and these better teams, upper echelon teams at the East and West, they haven't done great against either one of those teams, but I think if Karl Anthony Towns shows up and plays well, they're going to win. I mean, Detroit's a fun story. They're a great team. Yeah. One of the best turnarounds we've ever seen. Like, that team set an NBA record for most consecutive losses last year, and now they're in the NBA playoffs. Like, it's incredible what they've done, but I just don't see them beating New York, especially if Karl Anthony Towns is playing well.
So that's the one upset pick that I'm taking in the East, because I think the Pacers win, obviously Celtics and Cavs. In the West, I'm still going to take the Nuggets in that one over the Clippers.
But even that one's not like a real upset.
It's not a
right?
true upset. Yeah, now, yeah. Rockets-Warriors, I feel like most people are going to take
the fun.
Yeah, most people are going to take the Warriors, but I think that's the Rockets have been cooking all year, like quietly.
Maybe
you're
I'm
taking the Warriors.
Maybe I'm the idiot, but I'll take Golden State.
Sucker's bet or buying opportunity?
It's probably
that feels
sucker's
like
bet,
maybe a sucker's bet.
But I'm going to take it.
I mean, how good they've been since Jimmy Butler. It's hard to bet against them. And I dare Ime to run drop coverage against Steph Curry again. Do it again.
No, like, I don't know.
He's already learned his lesson.
Yeah, don't
so,
do that. Don't
I mean,
do that.
Again, like we're talking about the team, like the Pistons that are on the younger side. The Rockets are very young.
Oh, yeah.
Going against like Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. That's going to be a tough challenge. I think Vegas is heavily favoring the Warriors. The minus 200, I think it was.
I mean, Lakers-Warriors would be, for basketball fans, like an awesome
NBA would love that.
Yeah. Maybe just so pencil maybe the Lakers into the Western Conference Final is getting ahead of ourselves with Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers beat the Rockets, I think. But yeah, maybe I shouldn't pencil that in too quickly. Episode 7, Celtic City, out this week on HBO Max. Keith and I reviewed it quickly yesterday. Two, you know, real, I think, standout storylines or, you know, headline storylines. The passing of Reggie Lewis, which Shaughnessy said, he's like, it's the worst story I had to cover. No good came out of it. Every day was worse than the next. It was awful, tragic. So that was covered thoroughly. 20, 25 minutes of the episode was spent on Reggie Lewis. Roughly the rest of it was spent on Patino, who comes across as just a complete clown to this day. What'd you think of episode 7?
Yeah, I got a quick brag. You know, I covered Rick Pitino.
Covered him last month.
It was the Johnnies.
Sick brag, bro.
Yep, a little bit of a brag.
An outside brag of the week.
Yeah,
nice. Good job.
So I covered him last month for March Madness in the first round, and it feels like nothing's changed.
No.
And it's the funniest thing when he's talking about, like, the D. Brown thing. He's like, yeah, he wasn't part of our plan, so I don't remember much.
They, like slipped him a note, like he just died on the traitors, and that's how you caught him? Or traded him, I mean? Like, what the hell was that?
D. Brown, rightfully, is still
pissed
about that.
Don't pack your stuff. D. Brown was awesome in this episode.
Tremendous.
And he also was the perfect guy to have on because he was on the Reggie team. Actually, he played with McCallum Parrish. Like, he was played with those guys. Played with Reggie Lewis, had to speak to the media after finding out that he died. Like, I can't imagine being in that situation. And then also was a part of the early horrible Patino era.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
What a rant.
Yeah,
it's an all-timer.
What an all-timer.
And great that they got him because he's obviously not going to come across good.
No,
and most guys, when they know they're going to be looked at bad in a documentary, are going to just say no.
Full credit to Patino for doing it.
I'm glad he did.
Now, he looks like a clown.
He is a clown.
But credit for doing it. I think we said something somebody mentioned this to me. It was very similar to Grady Little being in the comeback. I'm like, I can't believe you agreed to do it. Good for you. You're a moron still,
right?
But good for you for doing it.
And like he steps in, he basically like sends Red R back to like the mail room. He's like, yeah, we don't need you anymore.
He changed 12 people's roles, like immediately coming in and took over as president. Right. And it was Jack McMullen was like, Red was a celebratory president anyway. He wasn't even day-to-day.
You didn't need to do it.
You get to draft your Ron Mercer.
Poor guy's like 80-something probably, at the time.
Just loves the Celtics, just breathes Celtics. And
was it Dee Brown that was telling the story where Patino came over during the timeout and was like, these people paid good money to see me coach. You guys going to play better.
I just remember this. How about he told, is it Chris Wallace? Was that the GM's name?
Yes. Yeah, they wanted him to lose weight.
He told him to lose 50 pounds.
50 pounds.
He's like, we got to look like lean and mean or whatever he said. Your mission.
This was in writing. This felt like he said this behind closed doors.
That was incredible.
I was watching the episode.
Is it Chris Wallace?
Yeah. He was the GM for a while. Okay, and so I was watching the episode, and my wife's like on her phone on the couch, and she looks up, and they're talking. Chris Wallace is telling the story that he had to lose all this weight, and then she's like, "Was he a player?" And I was like, "No, he wasn't a player." And they still wanted to lose all that weight. I'd never heard that story before.
Another thing too, like the Chauncey Billup thing. Like, I don't think that gets talked about enough. Like, this dude's a Hall of Famer. You traded him before his rookie season ended.
Although you know, it's another really bad trade.
They traded him and Joe Johnson right away.
You think the Clippers are going to look back on trading Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and be like, they traded him pretty early?
Was that after a year?
Might have been in year two. It was pretty early, wasn't it?
That's for your guy. That's for Paul George.
I know. I like Paul George, but how'd that work out?
Pretty hard not to if he's assumingly going to win MVP. I don't think any of us have him winning MVP.
He played one.
It feels like he's gonna.
He played one season with the Clippers, and then they traded him. and now he's going to be the MVP, and he's still in his 20s. But yeah, the whole Patino run was just forgettable. Although, I remember, it was a you-remember-where-you-were situation.
1,000%.
Halloween night.
You weren't born yet, Terp.
But 1997, but Halloween.
Halloween, they beat the Jordan Bulls, Patino's first game.
It's probably my last year trick-or-treating. It was a big part. I remember it was a big group.
Yeah.
Probably not far from the popcorn stand in Goffstown. It was at a girl's house, brag.
Wow.
There's dudes, yeah, guys and gals mingling together in middle school.
Sick brag,
that's right,
bro.
And then we must have been done trick-or-treating. Then we went in there, we watched the end of the Celtics game, and I'm like, holy smokes, this team's going to be great. They just beat the Bulls?
I was so in.
And then they lost pretty much every game after that.
I said this to Nick.
And the Bulls went on to win the title.
I remember. Nick can vouch for me. I remember this vividly. I'm like, I remember that game so well. And then I know they lost the next five games. They immediately lost the next five games after
that.
We looked it up before the show. Five straight losses right after that.
They're a mess.
It was unbelievably exciting.
But I'm glad they highlighted this time. I said this yesterday. Just because for people our age, there's like that window of time where it wasn't the championship team. They didn't get Pierce yet. I know they get into it here in 98 when they draft him. But there's that weird kind of no man's land time where you have the awful tragedy of Reggie Lewis. Then you still have like four more seasons of like, what is this? They did Dino Rocha dirty, by the way, because they were talking about how bad the team was.
Yeah, they showed him.
And they showed him like falling down.
Turn it over.
I'm pretty sure he was like an 18-10 guy. Like Dino Rocha wasn't bad.
Hall of Famer.
Because then they're showing like the Marty Conlin team with ML Carr. And I'm like, no, those are different. That team with ML Carr was insane.
Reminds me a little of the Patriots now. They got this big dynasty. Like, Rick Pitino was just a nicer Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
Or Mayo was just a nicer Rick Pitino.
Not wrong.
That's all it was.
Not wrong.
It was just a nicer Rick Pitino.
Right.
ML Carr.
What was that about?
Now, look. Now, ML
Carr. We're into this wide-ranging search for head coach. Okay. I am the head coach.
Who said that? Was that D. Brown? D. Brown's like, he did this whole search and he hired himself?
Yeah. Oh, and everyone hated it.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, ML Carr said he got death threats and all these awful messages. Like, obviously, that shouldn't happen. That goes without saying. But, like, him trying to justify that actually he wasn't really that bad. Like, no, dude, you were that bad. No one should threaten your life. No one should hurl epithets at you.
Well,
but you were not good. Let's not change history now.
You were awful. I also like Michael Holly on there telling the story about how even Rick Pitino, like, sends ML Carr to the draft lottery. So, like, the face of not getting Tim Duncan is ML Carr.
It's not Pitino.
It doesn't have to be Pitino.
Yeah, KG.
Pretty smart.
That was a KG move.
That really was.
Call.
And that lives on forever. The organization, too. Like, after his coaching,
he
bumped down.
I mean, do they?
Well, and then did the draft lottery, obviously. But, like, stayed within the organization.
Does he still have a role with the organization?
Like, ML Carr?
None of that would shock. Like, some sort of ceremonial. Did they fire anybody with the Celtics? I feel like they really don't.
They move them around.
The players just get they're all in ceremonial roles.
It's true.
It is funny because like they had such a, you know, we have to hire guys from the Celtics thing. Like whether it was Casey Jones, I mean Chris Ford for God's sakes, they didn't even really talk about much.
No,
like they're
it's
all
forgettable era.
Yeah, it is. But like all those guys were just, he played for the team, so he'd be a good GM, or he played for the team, he'd be a good coach. Because some of them were right, and then others were not necessarily the right call. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I think the episode prior, the two before, when you're getting like Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson are obviously going
to
be better.
Those were hard to beat. The 4, 5, 6 have been the best so far, but episode 7 was good.
Yeah. No, I think it's gotten better as it goes. I mean, we continue to talk about that. Maybe it's just because you relate to it more, like you understand it a little bit more, but I think it's just gotten better and better.
Okay. Pure Hoops with Terp. A day late, but well worth the wait. We'll see how Jaylen Brown looks come postseason. You got Orlando getting the game off the Celtics. We have sweeps over here. We'll talk to you next week. Terp, thanks for jumping in.
Thank you.
Check out Terp on Twitter at Justin M. Terp, and you can check out all his work throughout the Celtics run in the postseason, WEEI.com.
I got one text to read.
Oh.
I remember my brother caught Dino Raja trying to sneak into the movies in Framingham with his 6'6" tall girlfriend. I wonder what movie they were seeing.
Oh. How tall was he?
Dino, 6'10", probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
She was 6'6".
Nice.
It all lines up.
I have no basketball reason whatsoever to believe that they're going to push the Boston Celtics to 7 games. I just don't see it. I mean, Jaylen Brown, he's been getting shots in his knee or whatever. That's what they've been reporting. So his health might be compromised. All right. That could potentially help the Knicks. The Knicks don't have the health concerns. Jalen Brunson was out. So because he was out for more than a month or whatever, that's some rest right there, okay? And Jalen Brunson's going to show up. Carl Anthony Towns can put up some buckets, okay? OG Anunoby, I mean, he's elevated his offensive repertoire, and we know what he can do defensively. And Mikal Bridges is a reliable force, and you know how I feel about the Energizer Bunny Josh Hart. All I'm saying is this. That still ain't enough to think they're going to beat the Boston Celtics. That still ain't enough to think they're going to take them 7 games. But damn it, I ain't going out like that. I'm going to say the one exception is the New York Knicks are going to push the Boston Celtics to 7 games. Again, I have no basketball reason to justify that take. It's just me as a fan.
That was Stephen A. Smith, or as the Twitch chat has labeled him, presidential candidate Smith.
Stranger things have happened.
They certainly have. So I do like that. He's like, I'm taking the Knicks to go 7 games. I have no real reason to justify it. It's just that I'm a fan, and he's not even picking them to win.
No.
He's just picking them to get to 7 games. Neither you or I are even picking the Knicks to get to the Celtics matchup in round two.
Correct.
Which speaks to the Celtics' path. I'm not, as long as teams are healthy, I am not going to complain about their path this year. If they're getting...
Magic are already not healthy.
Okay.
I misspoke yesterday when I was like right off the rip there.
Who's out?
Oh, no,
you just said
never.
You said
Suggs.
Well,
no, Jalen Suggs.
Yeah. But I'm saying like Orlando aside, they're going to be Orlando either way.
No, it doesn't really matter.
Like Miami last year without Butler is different. The Cavs without Mitchell. You get into the Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers without Halliburton. So if they get a healthy Knicks or Pistons team and they get a healthy Cavs in the Eastern Conference Final, I'm not going to complain about the path.
No.
What was eye-opening last year is that every other team's best player was out on the way to the NBA Finals where you got a 5 seed.
Right.
So the Celtics might have won either way. I'm not taking away their championship. But how can you ignore that? So I'm not going to complain about their path, assuming teams are healthy. But it does look wide open to a degree, which is credit to the Celtics. They're just that much better than New York. They've dominated that matchup. They're that much better than Orlando. Cleveland, to me, is more toss-up. I'm taking the Celtics in that series. That could go 6. But I'm taking the Celtics in that series. But they look like they have a pretty wide open path to get to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. The title defense begins this weekend. What is, and I will leave this wide open, Keith, what is the biggest obstacle for the Celtics to repeat?
It would probably be Jaylen Brown getting banged up.
So,
or being banged up.
I think there are other questions, but right now that is my biggest question. And I'll get the blowback here from time to time in the Twitch chat. I think it was my guy Brett in there. Said, Jones, you're a chicken little. Why are you freaking out about this? Meaning Jalen.
I mean, why wouldn't you be? He was the finals MVP, the Eastern Conference finals MVP.
So fraudulent from these Celtics fans who all year said the only thing that can hold him back is injury.
And now we're looking at an injury.
Now the finals MVP is hurt. Yeah. So you can't say all year the only thing that would hold him back. Stop talking about Tatum. Stop talking about Mazzulla. Stop talking about all these other things. And now one of their best players is dealing with an injury. How hurt he is, we're about to find out.
Right.
He's dealing with an injury, and you want to say, I'm Chicken Little, I'm freaking out over nothing?
No, it's the normal thing. It's one
thing
if you came on.
This is what you guys said for the last year.
Right. No, it would be fraudulent if you came on and you were like, well, you know what, maybe they take too many threes. It's like, well, this is what they've been doing.
Right.
They just won it all last year, and they won. Oh, my God.
You swallowed a bunch?
Choked up.
What was that?
I've been fighting off something. I don't know what the hell it is. Something brought home from school.
That looked like something flew into your mouth. That's not what happened.
Could have been a bug.
Okay.
I have a giant mouth. Could have been a bug. Just making a way for himself. But no, I mean they're going to take a lot of threes. They play a certain style, right? So it is who's available for them, and they are so good that I think they can be without a guy or even two in a matchup like Orlando. Maybe he could be down a guy against the Knicks or the Pistons. Once you get to Cleveland, like I don't know, like maybe you need everybody or like pretty close to it, and then certainly against the Thunder. I know you said even if they're full strength, the Thunder are such a good team that might be a tough matchup, and maybe you just lose straight up.
I would. Everybody's healthy on both sides. Yeah. I would pick OKC.
I get it. I mean, we saw 2 games, and I know everybody wasn't 100% healthy, but the Thunder were also banged up and beat the Celtics twice this year. But yeah, the way it looks right now, you know, if Jalen Brown's limping around in the first round, you're going to say, oh boy. Not that you're worried about the first round, but just going forward, because the goal for this team isn't to make the playoffs or to make the second round. It's to repeat.
If he's limping around in game one, we're going to see. We're all going to see on Sunday.
Yeah.
If he's limping around in game one, I'm going to come in the next day, or we're off that day. Yeah. I'm going to come in on Tuesday.
Right.
And I'm going to say he shouldn't play the rest of the... If he's limping around in game one...
Sit him down for the series.
Shut him down. He's not right. You're not going to get a break in round two. You're not going to get a break in the Eastern Conference Finals. You're not going to get a break in the NBA Finals. This is your chance to get a break. So if he's limping, assuming he plays in game one, all signs point to him playing in game one, but how does he look? Is he healthy? Is he still labored? I'll come in after that and say, shut him down for the rest of this series. You don't need him to sweep Orlando. Never mind beat Orlando. You don't need him to sweep Orlando.
No. They do have 2 days off in between games one and two. No travel or anything. They play game one Sunday afternoon, then they play game two Wednesday night.
Plenty of time to stamp our feet about it.
Uh-huh.
Secondary question, because right now Jalen should be the biggest question, his health. What does Tatum have left to prove?
Finals MVP. So you can't get that in the first round. You can't get that in the second or the third round. It's not, playoff MVP. It's not like hockey, right? It's finals MVP. So I think that would be a thing on his list. And it's not just specific to Tatum. We had said this, I think certainly nationally, it was said about Steph Curry for a while. Steph Curry was an unbelievable player, was going to walk into the Hall of Fame. But one thing that eluded him was finals MVP. All the historically great players have won finals MVP. Right? Like, I don't think... And then if a guy hasn't, I bet he's not in the top 10, right? Like, you have to kind of chisel down. Just like the best players all win titles with the exception of like a handful.
Mm-hmm.
And then those guys are held down to a certain degree. So then once you start getting into the part of like, all right, here's a really good player. Here's a really good player. This guy won two titles. This guy won two titles. Like, how many individual awards have they won? What kind of accolades do they have? And so I think for Tatum, what still remains out there, obviously there's regular season MVP, but that, it's not going to happen this year. It would be finals MVP, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's leading the team to a championship. But it is the same idea.
Yeah.
It's like you are the best. You are the clear-cut best player. Team's on your back. If they win another championship and Jalen's the best player, well, he's still a two-time champ and all these other things. But I'll come in with some questions. Like, why now two postseasons in a row is Jalen the guy?
Mm-hmm.
And not that Tatum was awful last postseason, but Jalen was better, and Tatum struggled shooting the basketball a year ago. He did. So I just think that's what he needs to do to like really shut people up. What are they going to say now? The thing he said after they won the title last year, and yet a year later we're still saying things about him, because maybe he'll finish third in the MVP. Maybe he'll win a finals MVP. Go be the clear-cut best player on a championship team. That's what he has left to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And they can still win, I think, if he's not the best player on the team.
They're that deep.
If Jalen's healthy and awesome again,
right.
He can be not the best player and they can win. That's what he has left to prove to me.
Yeah, because you look at some of the recent titles, when Denver won, it was Jokic. When the Bucks won, it was obviously Giannis. When the Lakers won, it was LeBron. Or AD, no, it was LeBron, right? Actually, Davis was good in that series too, but those are two big
time.
LeBron had already done
MVP?
It.
Right.
LeBron had already done it multiple times, right? Whether it was in Cleveland or whether it was his time in Miami, but those guys kind of stand apart, especially when you get multiple cracks at it. Because this isn't Super Bowl MVP.
It was LeBron.
Okay, but I remember Davis
LeBron
was good.
Won.
But yeah, so LeBron won. So all those guys,
the show's won.
The guys,
we should have known
not
that.
Not true, but the guys that you would assume would win it do. And every once in a while it doesn't happen, right? Like Cedric Maxwell gets it and not Larry Bird. But then give Larry Bird another crack at it and he gets it.
You already said Curry eventually
Curry
won
the
it,
first three times didn't.
Iguodala didn't get it. Or I'm sorry, Iguodala won it over Curry in the first.
But it feels like had they won the next year before they got Kevin Durant, maybe it would have been Curry, but whatever. That situation's is pretty unique. But yeah, all those top guys have that, right? And so, because it's pretty unanimous across the board, Tatum better than Brown. Tatum's going to be all NBA first team again this year. Jaylen Brown, I know he didn't qualify, but he wasn't going to be all NBA this year. Doesn't mean he's not an all-star and a really good player, but yeah, I think at some point that's one of those things that you're going to have to hit. Tatum always looked up to Kobe. Kobe didn't win finals MVP those 3 years with Shaq, and you're like, okay, Shaq's the better player. That was his dominant era. But he wasn't losing finals MVP to Pau Gasol or Andrew Bynum.
No.
When it came back around, it was Kobe.
Another all-time great.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of texts here. Jones, what if they lose to Orlando in game one? Not going to happen, but let's play it out. What if they lose to Orlando in game one and Jalen looks injured? What do you do? I still shut him down.
I would still shut him down, and I bet you still win the next four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So on the off chance that happens, I would still shut him down. Jones, do you even watch the playoff games? Jalen is not being double and triple teamed. Tatum is, right? He's the first player to ever get double teams.
Yeah, nobody does.
No stars in the NBA playoffs ever get double teamed.
Kobe, Jordan, Curry, one-on-one.
I mean, that never happens. also this, damn Jones, we get it. You're picking OKC. It's kind of like last year. Everyone said Denver was going to stop us from getting a championship. Celtics went 0-2 against them, but they never made it. Well, I'm just telling the only...
Yeah, OKC might not make
they
it.
Might
that's
not.
Fair.
That's,
yeah.
that's totally yeah. fair. That's been Terp's point. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, the only team I would pick head-to-head over the Celtics is the Thunder. I'm not picking any other team head-to-head over the Celtics. That one I would, but they might not be there. Fair point. 617-779-7937. All your texts there. You can dial us up on the phone lines. We'll get back to the Patriots at 1 o'clock, and we have the madness, Kiefer Madness, next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
A Bigfoot killed those guys.
His head's soaked. He's walking out the door. And there's pickle juice all over the floor.
I like it. What about you?
Why do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, we go down to the great state of Florida for this one. Often go to Florida, although okay. I think we've given it a little bit of a break,
Let's
right?
Let's see it, yeah.
Find out what's going on down there in the Sunshine State.
Also on 7, Erica, going to the chapel on your wedding day, of course, is a big moment. One bride underestimated just how long it would take to get there.
Not like a runaway bride situation. This one is trying to go to her own wedding.
Going to the chapel.
Going to the chapel.
Going to get married.
That's right.
Got it.
That's right.
How long would that take?
Yeah, I don't know.
15 minutes.
She's trying to plan ahead.
20 minutes.
It really all depends. Sometimes people stay close to where they're going to get married, maybe the night before they're there.
Good point.
Right? Maybe not. I don't know how much you travel to get to the destination
like
that day.
Something like that. You don't want to be farther than 15, 20 minutes away.
It is time sensitive, though. You also don't want to get there too early.
No.
Then the nerves can get to you. You start getting in your own head.
Well, you want to be a little fashionably late. It's your day.
Yeah.
You want to keep the people waiting a little bit. Not too much, but waiting a little bit.
Nope. Yeah. I remember when I met with the priest that married us. We'd met a couple of times. This was in my wife's hometown.
Sick, bro.
I was about to ask for it. Thank you. Nick beat me to it. Thank you.
So anyways, I met with a guy like a couple of times, right? Because they want to know you, I guess, before they marry you type of thing.
Sounds like they met you once and they're like, we need to talk to this guy again.
So they called him twice, right? Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I need to go back the second time.
I think most people only
meet
once.
So talk to him like twice. It's in my wife's hometown. And then we get there day of the wedding, and I walk in to like to say hi to him or whatever, and it's me and my best man, and he looks at the two of us, and I don't think he knew who was getting married. He was like, "And you, Richard?"
You're like,
and I'm like, "Me, dude. Like we've met."
He's like, "The two of you?"
Like, no, not him. I'd be flattered, but no, it's not him. And he's like, "The two times we met with him were useless. He had no idea. He didn't know which one it was."
Nice.
I'm like, it's me. I'm the guy getting married.
I'm the guy. I'm the one getting married. It's my day. It's my night.
Yeah. And then he was great.
Also on 7, Erica, going to the chapel on your wedding day, of course, is a big moment. One bride underestimated just how long it would take to get there.
Whose wedding is it?
It's mine.
So fast forward to a police officer pulling over a car.
Oh, boy.
Where there are two people inside. And so it's like police cam video now. So it's two people in the car, window down, looking at the police officer. So No. They were driving. Well, I guess shouldn't make assumptions.
Nick beat me to it again. We're on the same wavelength right now.
Shouldn't make assumptions.
Whose wedding is it?
It's mine.
What time is it?
It's 2:30.
Where at?
In Stewart at the
Park. Hey, you're already late.
You're already late.
Thanks, dude.
Whose wedding is it?
Super helpful.
It's mine.
Yeah.
Also, a little bit of a red flag would be it's a woman who's going to get married. The guy driving, not the husband. Who's this guy?
The husband driving?
No.
Well, they're not supposed to see each other before the wedding.
But is she supposed to see other dudes?
Well, good point. You're kind of hoping it's the...
You know this guy.
You know the maid of honor or somebody like that driving her. Yeah.
Just give me a minute. I'll let you take her, but I'm going to give you a court date. It's a mandatory court appearance.
Thank you.
All right.
Brutal. You're not going to let somebody go on their wedding day?
Hell.
What do you mean?
Now what? I can just speed around all I want in my wedding attire? Yeah. Now that's just carte blanche to just drive around and take advantage of this loophole. We're now, sir, you're in a tux. Why were you going 90? Oh, well, I'm going to my wedding. Oh, you're in a tux. I see that. Well, you know what? We're going to let you off. No ticket.
That's just always wear a tux?
Yeah, yeah.
Just hum around the place?
She drives Tuesday night, sir.
She drives around all the time. Don't judge when I want to get married. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she just drives everywhere goes in a wedding dress. What a loophole that would be.
Tuesdays could be very personal to you.
Yeah.
So they got pulled over in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. Do you know how fast they were going? 45. 80. They were going 105.
All right, give me that one's a court date. I don't care if it's your wedding day. That's a court date.
I guess I'm back down with the officer on this one.
Okay.
Going 105. Like, we're going to make up some time here on the ground. Like, no, you can't.
So get this. Port St. Lucie police clocked a driver going 105 miles an hour in a 45-mile-per-hour speed zone Friday. Turns out that driver was the wedding guest, the bride, as you see there, riding shotgun. They were already 15 minutes late for the wedding.
Wedding guests.
Driving around with her wedding guests and they were 15 minutes late?
Dude.
What'd they do with the other 14?
I think we have a pretty good idea of what was going on here.
Yeah.
Why were you late? Like, honey, don't worry about it. What happened? Why were you late? Ah, just, you know, strangest thing. Couldn't get out of bed this morning. Luckily.
Traffic was brutal.
Luckily, Chris was there to drive me. You're like, wait, what? Why was Chris there?
Why is he? I don't even like that he was at the wedding. The wedding's off. The wedding's off.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to invite this guy. Yeah. Now he's spending the night with you and bringing you in? What the hell's happening?
I don't like that.
No, it's not good.
No.
In a 45-mile-per-hour speed zone Friday. Turns out that driver was the wedding guest, the bride, as you see there, riding shotgun. They were already 15 minutes late for the wedding.
Oh, boy.
Police did let the two go, but as you heard, the driver now has a mandatory court appearance.
That one's hard to dispute. 105.
105 and 45.
Yeah. Hopefully she had a beautiful wedding.
That's right.
After she got there safely.
Stress-free.
Yeah.
Got there, got it done.
I'm guessing none of that happened.
Hopefully they went through with the ceremony.
I was going to say, I think there's a bit of a love triangle going on here.
I think the wedding was called off.
Wedding guest?
Hopefully they had a beautiful wedding. I'm going to guess not.
I don't think so.
I'm going to guess not there, lady.
Pretty scary stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. He's got sort of a guilty face on him, too, if you see the driver. That looks like a guy that was clearly
looks like a guy who's like, no good. Are we on camera right now? This is bad like, for everyone.
Oh, no. No one's going to hear about this, right? It's like, yeah, you're late. You're late.
It's on the news now.
Okay. The police officer says, you're already late. She says, we're trying to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
There you are.
That's what she said.
Scary stuff.
So there you go. That is the madness. Keep for madness. Each and every day. Check that. Each and every Thursday, just about, on Jones and Keith at 12:45. You can mark that down. We will get back to your Patriots phone calls. Is Mike Vrabel the guy we should trust with the fourth overall pick? You can weigh in on that. Plus, we may have some news on the Aaron Rodgers front coming up. We'll keep our eyes on that with all your phone calls next.